darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment, let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. I am joined by Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Mr. Jason Tross on my right, the gentleman I refer to affectionately as J Squared. Two J's, one A. Getting ready to rock and roll with you. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the program today on this hump day. Mike. Hump day. It is Wednesday, the last Wednesday before we celebrate the Christmas holiday in our nation. And even though it is Wednesday, I still want to remind you, as most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, that you do so with full intentionality. Though I know there are a few of you who are on your way to your part-time job because of the way your work schedule is arranged. But I just want to encourage you to make sure that we don't expend all of our excellence outside of our homes, that we also understand that the first institution that God created before there was ever a church, before there was ever an order of prophets, before there was a monarchy, the first institution that God created to be the conduit and recipient of his delegated authority was the family. I would submit to you that the primary institution for executing the Great Commission is the family as well. When Christian parents are able to bear children in a family, and that also includes, you know, the family, whether you biologically reproduce them or you adopt them, however they come, that you and I are committed to making disciples of our children. You know, it's funny, in our church, I was talking to a couple people who had a new baby, and I said, you know, in our church, you know, I know there are other places they dedicate babies and things of that nature, but really it's more of an opportunity for the parents to commit before the local assembly to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because that is what we are called to do. You search the scriptures, you see that God has placed the theological first responders, the spiritual first responders in the lives of children are to be their parents. And all too often, many a family becomes frustrated because we have outsourced the responsibility of evangelizing and discipling our children to the youth ministries and to the school systems, only to be frustrated when we don't get what we'd hoped for in terms of our children, not realizing that the anointing and the anointing, the calling, and the spiritual instruction to make disciples of their offspring is given to parents, with the father leading out as the head of the family and as the shepherd of that family. And I say this all the time. We can say we want God's ways as much as we want to say it, but you cannot want God's ways if you are willing to circumvent God. Man, I'm saying this all wrong. You cannot say you want God's results if you are willing to circumvent God's ways. If we want our children to be disciples, we must apply ourselves to the primary mechanism that the Lord has put in place to cause that execution to manifest. Man, I got Wednesday mouth. That's not even a thing. I've been talking for 2 days already this week. You cannot say you want God's results if you are willing to circumvent God's ways. God's ways are tied to God's results. Now, having said that, we're going to begin the program today in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. And this is actually going to relate to some of the things I'm going to talk about as the show progresses. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. Here we go. Verse 16. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." and this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us, as Romans, to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, this is discussing Paul and Silas. You read further on in that chapter, you'll see Paul and Silas were in jail, but they, much like our brother Pastor Wang Yi and his seminary students from the seminary of the Early Rain Covenant Church in China, they're singing worship songs in the prison and end up ministering to their jailers, those same ones who had physically beaten them. These are the ones that Paul and Silas ultimately end up ministering to, but I'm not trying to go there for right now. Isn't it amazing that this girl, her proclamation wasn't the problem? You know, and I say this, and I have made this statement before in reference to this desire of Christian artists and pastors and so on and so forth to gain the applause of the secular world and those who even want to collaborate with the secular world, you know? And what has Athens to do with Jerusalem? You know, it wasn't that this girl was saying something inaccurate. What did she say? These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. That was a factual statement. But why was she nevertheless rebuked? Because it was motivated by demonic motivation. It was a demon seeking to curry favor and attention for itself, even to generate additional revenue based on the foulness that are spewed by this demonic spirit. To say it simply, it was the spirit at work within this girl that drew the ire, the righteous indignation of Paul as the Lord's servant. But going further, what was the thing that caused her handlers to get upset? Was it because Paul rebuked her? No. The Bible tells us. Verse 19, I'll read it again. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Now, many of us, myself included, have lamented the fact that, you know, you see this banner in the studio, no more excuses. Why is it with Republican leadership, president, Republican House, Republican Senate, even with the promise to be a pro-life administration, why can't we see Planned Parenthood defunded? Can I tell you? Very simply, it's not only demonically motivated, it is blood money. Now, why am I saying that? Because there are regressives on both sides of the political aisle who have their own desire for personal gain that's connected to it. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, Abe? I'll tell you what I mean. On the one hand, those who are regressives with D's behind their names. Lord, I'm about to tell some truth here. They are involved in, quite frankly, which is a money laundering scheme right in front of our faces. Some of you ask, so why does Planned Parenthood get $500 million every year of our money, over $500 million, especially tied to the fact that the number of abortions in the nation is going down every year. The number of services that Planned Parenthood offers reduces every year, but their budget continues to increase. Why do they keep getting money? I'll tell you why. Did you know that within the last election cycle, that Planned Parenthood has put nearly $100 million on a campaign-related activities that included directly funding campaigns as well as advocating for positions to get certain candidates elected? So what you see happening here is a money laundering scheme where Congress allocates money to Planned Parenthood. That's not quite $100 million, closer to about $70 million. But y'all know where I'm getting it, $70 to $80 million. Your money laundering scheme that our tax dollars go to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood takes a portion of those same tax dollars to get the same Congress members who vote for them to get tax money reelected. Then it works on the flip side. Because those regressives with an R behind their names, they're more than willing to campaign on ending funding for Planned Parenthood when they have no intention whatsoever about doing anything about it in their positions in Congress. Well, how does that work? Well, they've learned that there's a certain contingent among their base that will continue to vote for them based on their campaign rhetoric, not based on what they do in office. So you see both ends of the political spectrum, albeit comprised of regressives, they both profit from this demonic connection. They both profit from it. And then going beyond that, because this is the incestuous relationship going on behind the scenes, the handlers, their concern is about the money. And as an aside, do you think these men who are handling this slave girl, you think they care about the girl? You think they care about it? Not in the least bit. The only thing that drew their concern is when their money started getting tampered with. And then look further. When they go and make their formal accusation, when they make their complaint against Paul and Silas, look at the specifics of the complaint. I'm going to read verse 20, and the complaint is in verse 21. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice," end quote. Isn't it amazing that when these handlers of this demon-possessed slave girl saw that her demon possession was no longer present, and as a result, they would not be able to make any more money off of her, they then make their formal complaint to the magistrates based on a cultural appeal. Isn't that interesting? They don't say they're messing up our ability to make money. They don't say, they don't care about this slave girl. No, they say they're advocating practices and customs that are not lawful for us. We're Romans. They're Jews. Much in the same way, what do you hear the consistent rhetoric that is offered when Planned Parenthood's financial grab from the Congress, well, not from the Congress, the tax dollars, is threatened? What do they say? Poor people's ability to access health care is going to be threatened. All the while, they know they're not offering health care. Women's health, and they don't even do mammograms. They don't do anything that community health centers don't provide except for abortion. But they use this propped up excuse to keep the money flowing. And this is all happening in an era. Previously, people would be embarrassed to talk about abortion in public. Now they're shouting their abortion and even making a cultural appeal. America's about freedom. This is about choice. Really? My body, my choice. Even though we know the science shows that a baby is in your body, but the baby is not your body. The baby's blood type is distinct from yours. The baby's DNA is distinct from yours. This is not your body. And I've made the point before, and I'll make it again. It's as if that nothing can be done about conception. The fundamental reality, folks, is that the woman's choice, the mother's choice, begins at the moment the child's choice begins. The woman's choice ends at the moment the child's choice begins. Just like my freedom is limited at the minute that Jason's freedom begins. I don't have the freedom to end Jason's life because his presence may be a financial impediment to the type of life I want to live. Well, why do we accept this rhetoric in our nation for the killing of children? Many times from the very same people who say that we are the compassionate one. What I'm saying is that there's a demonic root to it that is connected to a blood money incentive. And so the only answer is very similar to the way that slavery was abolished in our nation. That an appeal was made to the conscience of our nation based on the superseding reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. That these are human beings. And it's not until the culture, should I say, the population will no longer stomach the unfettered murder of fellow American citizens.
Remembering the 41st President of the United States. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. President George H.W. Bush passed away recently at the age of 94. Former President Bush served as our 41st President, Vice President to Ronald Reagan, and an elected official to the House of Representatives. He also bravely fought in World War II. We are thankful for former President Bush's service to our great nation. President Bush's spokesman posted a photo of the late president's service dog lying in front of his flag-draped casket. He tweeted a picture of the yellow Labrador retriever named Sully with the caption, "Mission complete, remembering 41. President Bush knew the immense importance of freedom. He said, "We know what works, freedom works. We know what is right, freedom is right." Liberty Council offers sincere condolences to the entire Bush family. Stay informed about your religious freedom at lc.org. That's lc.org.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Nothing can get done in the United States Senate for good unless we end the legislative filibuster. We're urging you today to call your senator and ask them to end the legislative filibuster so that we can defund Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in America. Call the Capitol Switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, or go to afaaction.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. President Trump is receiving more incoming at one time than almost any president before him. The Democrats are united in their hatred for him, as are almost the entire media. People in his own administration are trying to sabotage him, terminate his presidency, and send him to prison. He's a bit like Samson. Samson fooled around with women, not his wife, and thought the source of his strength was his hair rather than God. At the end of his life, Samson called out to God, "O Lord God, please remember and strengthen me only this once." God answered his prayer and worked a great victory. Let's pray that President Trump will find his strength in God and not in himself. If he does, he will bear up under the load. If he does not, the load will crush him.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. The first segment, kind of the music, was disrespectful prematurely. I had a little bit more to say, and I didn't plan to do it like this, but I will, because when we go into the statistics, what we know about the in utero baby murder that people refer to as abortion, it's baby murder. In addition to appeals for the poor, the statements are consistently made. Now let's, well, what about rape and incest and to preserve the life of the mother? When you know for a fact that the percentage of women who get abortions, the percentage of abortions that are performed as a result of rape is less than 1%. It's less than 1%. And it also assumes that women who are raped don't want to bear their children and deliver their children, which we had Ryan Bomberger on not too long ago, who himself was conceived in rape. And thanks be to God, his mother decided to allow him to live, and he was adopted by an amazing family, and he's been a great blessing to the world. But regardless of what he's done, his presence is a blessing. He's a bearer of the image of God. But if so, knowing the facts that these things refer to rape, incest, and the life of the mother are really red herrings, what's really going on? And this is one of those moments where I just would encourage you to plug your children's ears for a second, because I'm not going to stay here for a very long time. But I do have to speak candidly. I don't want to intrude on any family's province as the protectors and guardians of your families, or introduce any topic of conversation that you're not ready yet to engage in. And with that warning, so knowing that 99% plus of the babies who are murdered in the name of Roe versus Wade, or under the banner of Roe versus Wade, that are not murdered because of rape or incest or to protect the life of the mother. They're murdered out of convenience. And convenience because of what? Because America worships the idol of sex. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Our culture, and particularly many of the women in our culture, have bought the lie of the sexual revolution that said the height of your liberty as a woman is that now you can, you are free to have unfettered, indiscriminate sex with men. And you know what? If something happens as a result of the sex, not something, the natural product of sexual relationships between a man and a woman, if the natural product of a sexual union between a man and a woman develops, well, you become your own walking tower of Babel and kill the baby that's growing in your womb. Folks, this death covenant that is related to this idolatrous covenant to physical hedonism has caused our culture to go berserk. I shared yesterday the story about the little boy who was dancing in a club, 11-year-old little boy. And I'm saying, if this was a little girl, the parents would be put in jail. If an 11-year-old girl was brought to a club to do a striptease dance that was, as the articles described, sexually provocative in nature and gestures, the parents would be locked up in jail. The club would have been shut down. And the whole country would have applauded it as a clear demonstration of abuse of a child. But because of this idol of sex, they get interviews on Good Morning America with Michael Strahan. I mean, this is what I'm telling you. This is the insanity that we are dealing with. But that is what we're dealing with. And you know how it unfolds. The fundamental component of all of this deviancy that we're facing now is that men want to be promiscuous. And as many different iterations as the sinful heart of man will allow, that is what they want. This is why I said the cobblestone road toward the Obergefell decision with the sanctioning of same-sex marriage was based upon the body of Christ going silent on God's standard for sexual ethics within a heterosexual context. When the church became silent on fornication, when the church became silent on adultery, it laid the foundation for the world to realize, oh, the church ain't preaching about sexual sin as it used to. So now, when they have an iteration of violation of God's sexual standards within a homosexual context, the world says, well, hey, wait a minute. You didn't say nothing when you had men and women getting it on outside of God's standards. Why do you care about God's standards now? And that laid the foundation for what we're facing right now. But I'll move on. I have more to say about that, but I'll move on for now. I'm sure this topic will resurface in the future. But I'm going to turn this story for now. And I talked about this a little bit on today's issues when I was on with Tim Wildman this morning. Did you hear? If you haven't, I'm here to inform you that the Trump administration has announced its decision to ban bump stocks. I'll read to you from the Department of Justice's summary concerning the ban. It said this, quote, the Department of Justice is amending the regulations of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, that's ATF, by the way, to clarify that bump stock type devices, meaning bump fire stocks, slide fire devices, and devices that with certain similar characteristics are machine guns. Oh, really? Newsflash to me. Are machine guns as defined by the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Gun Control Act of 1968, because such devices allow a shooter of a semi-automatic firearm to initiate a continuous firing cycle with a single pull of the trigger. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not a Democratic-led Congress. No. Not even a congressionally passed statute. No. President Trump's administration has unilaterally declared bump stocks heretofore to be illegal. Oh, and did I leave something out? This out? The 90-day provision? Sure, I did. As a result of this banning, the The bump stock ban is also retroactive. And the rule announced by the Department of Justice declares that you now have 90 days to turn in your bump stocks or you will be illegally in possession of a banned, which literally is a firearm accessory, but they are describing it as a machine gun. Now tell me how loony is that? That is insane. That is insane. So this rule is expected to be in the Federal Register as of Friday, so the 90-day deadline would end March 21st, 2019. Now, who'd have thought that one of I'll say it this way, the foundation, the pathway toward gun control and gun confiscation in this country would have been laid by a Republican president? Not me. In fact, this is a rule that the Obama administration considered, but they declined to implement because they concluded that it was unconstitutional. But President Trump's administration goes and does it. Now, bump stocks, I mean, and it's, to be very honest, this is nothing but capitulation to the gun control conversation of the moment, because the bump stock even having the potential to cause a semi-automatic firearm, to cause a firearm to develop or to adopt some type of automatic capacity, you can still do that in a number of ways. So practically, this is a foolish thing. But beyond that, you know, I thought, the Republican Party were the parties of constitutional fidelity, you know? I am wholeheartedly under the position that if I feel like I need to have bump stocks to defend my family, the Constitution allows it. I mean, this is ridiculous. And can I tell you that if the president's administration gets away with banning bump stocks under President Trump, do you think a President Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or Cory Booker or Kamala Harris or any Elizabeth Warren, any number of regressives, you think they'll stop from seizing next your semi-automatic weapons? What's to stop them? Now, let me ask another question. And this is one of those things, man, I'm going to tell you. You have to be 100% sure, confident that your positions in this life are first and foremost built on the word of God and that they are principles and not politically expedient positions. Now, why am I saying that? Can you imagine what the outcry would be from the conservative community if President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, had done this? Can you imagine? Conservatives the country over would be ready to take to the streets. I see this as an assault on the Second Amendment. And to be fair, the NRA supports this move. Well, I don't. I don't like a president's administration telling me what I can and cannot possess to protect my family. And this is just laying the foundation. This is just laying the foundation for subsequent administration to do other things. Now, I do expect there to be some litigation over this, but I have to tell you that much of the silence from many conservatives is not lost on me. So this is one of those moments where your fealty, that's an old English term, has to be to principles and conviction and not to personalities or parties. Now, if you want to regulate guns, first and foremost, as a constitutional, a person who believes that our Constitution should be upheld, that it is the supreme law of the land, why didn't a bill get passed through Congress? I mean, think for one moment again. Just get in your Marty McFly time machine. Go back just a couple years. What would we be saying if former President Barack Obama unilaterally, through executive rulemaking capacity, declared bump stocks to be illegal? And then move to confiscate them, give you 90 days to turn them in, as well as no compensation. They're not saying they're going to compensate you for the surrender of your private property. Oh, no. They're just illegal now. And adding to the idiocy of this particular rule And I just happened to do a little research on this recently, that in 2016, for example, according to the FBI statistics, where you had, this is how it's described, about 10,700 gun-related deaths. You want to know how many of them involved rifles or shotguns? Less than 300. You want to know what the majority of the guns that were employed in gun-related deaths? This is not even talking about justified homicides, unjustified. It's just the category in total. 70% of that were committed by use with pistols, handguns. So what are you doing? What are you doing? I'll tell you what's happening. Bending to the cultural moment, to the moment of the culture. Folks, this is just this is just the latest, you know? You know, with the things that are doing, and having said this, President Trump, you know, I hate to tell you, my friend, but this is not a good way to get your base encouraged for the 2020 elections. I mean, just about 10 days ago, if you don't give me the money for my border wall, I'm going to shut the government down. And now we're looking for other ways. No, not so much. We're not too much worried about the border wall anymore. How much do you want from the border? $5 billion? Well, the Congress, they're not going to give me $5 billion. Oh, but we have $5 billion that's in New Mexico. I mean, that's just a gut punch. That's just a gut punch to the people that supported the president. It is amazing. Yeah, you heard it here loud and clear that the first movement toward the modern efforts, I'll say the first movement towards gun confiscation, the umbrella of firearms confiscation, began with firearms accessories being confiscated by the Trump administration. Don't have enough time in this segment to go into this in detail, but I'll throw this out to begin. And I alluded to this yesterday on the program. But a headline from the UK, just across the pond. Sex education in England, as a result of teacher guidance issued by the Brighton and Hove City Council, states, quote, trans boys and men and non-binary people may menstruate. Language about menstruation must be inclusive of all genders, and therefore orders that bins used for menstrual products are provided in the restrooms for all children, end quote. To say it more simply, 8-year-old children in Britain are being instructed that both boys and girls can have menstrual cycles. I posted the story from the Daily Mail on the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page. You can go and read it there if you want to. You can go and read it there if you want to. This follows the National Health Service in England issuing a guidebook earlier this year stating that males living as women were being invited for tests to check for cervical cancer, even though they don't have cervixes. Oh, yes. And the thing that just is so amazing to me in this, it's so amazing to me that these are the same people that will lecture Christians about believing in science. These are the folks who said, science, I mean, scientific method, I mean, measurable, observable, and repeatable. I mean, Carl Sagan, I mean, science, you know. But they're inviting men to go and get cervical cancer screening, even though these men don't have cervixes. Man, this is crazy. This is crazy. But yes, so the Brighton and Hove City Council in England is telling their 8-year-old students that boys and girls could all have menstrual cycles. Why am I bringing this up? Today it's happening in the UK. But you better believe that there are people in our country right now working to have this kind of insanity to be brought to the schools in our country. I just want to make sure you're aware of what's happening, because as I stated earlier, parents are the first line, but in order to be effective, we need to be informed.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. There will be no Christmas displays in the Chinese city of Langfang. Authorities there have issued a ban on all public displays of Christmas. No trees, no lights, no nativity scenes. The ban comes amid a dangerous crackdown on Christianity across China. Over the past few weeks, hundreds of Christian pastors and leaders have been arrested. Many church buildings have been bulldozed, turned to rubble. And now comes the war on Christmas. The New York Times reports all schools in the Chinese city had to be stripped of anything related to the reason for the season, much like a grade school principal did in Elkhorn, Nebraska, when she ordered teachers to remove all Christmas decorations, including candy canes. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation seems to have a lot in common with the Chinese government, although they have not started rounding up Christians or bulldozing American churches, at least not yet. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
The president is once again fulfilling a promise he made to the American people. And this morning, the acting attorney general signed the final rule making clear that bump stocks are illegal because they fall within the definition of machine guns that are banned under federal firearms law. A 90-day period now begins, which persons in possessions of bump stock type devices must turn those devices to an ATF field office or destroy them by March 21st. Instructions for proper destruction will be posted on ATF's website today.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, and I just played that because I know there may be some people out there who are saying, no, Abe, that can't be true, what you're saying about the president and the bump stock situation, because President Trump would never come for my guns or my accessories like that. You heard it from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who, last I checked, she was the president's press secretary, and again, my favorite press secretary in my lifetime, but still, man, I don't like that. I don't like it at all. I'll move on. Kansas City, Missouri, a disturbing report from Kansas City, Missouri. And as a prosecutor, I've had the unfortunate experience of trying many of these cases of child sexual abuse, dealing with SANE Nurse, which is an acronym for sexual assault nurse examiners, and other professionals, medical health professionals in these particular cases. But according to data compiled by Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri, there is an uptick and an increase in the trend of children who are abusing, who are sexually abusing other children, and Mercy Hospital sees that trend involving children and their usage and exposure to pornography. Please play clip number 5.
Children abusing children. Children's Mercy has been collecting data, and it shows that the perpetrator is likely to be between the ages of 11 and 15 years old.
The other thing that we're noticing is that a lot of those sexual assaults are violent sexual assaults, so they include physical violence in addition to sexual violence.
Recently, the International Association of Forensic Nurses said that the hospital is in the top 5% in the United States in the amount of sexual assault victims they see. Last year, Children's Mercy saw 444 kids who were sexually abused within the last 5 days. Victims are most likely girls, around 4 to 8 years old. Nurses are also finding more and more that pornography is playing a role in these cases. It can include a victim being forced to see porn, being forced to do something shown in a pornographic video, or being recorded.
I think it's probably multifactorial. I think there are lots of things that probably contribute to this, but that is the question. How are we as a society failing in such a way that we have 11 and 12 and 14-year-old boys primarily committing violent sexual assault?
Now, I want to make sure you understand these stats, the way that they're being provided. Last year, in 2017, Children's Mercy Hospital saw 444 kids who had been sexually abused within the 5 days prior to them coming to the hospital. Within that 5 days, in the prosecutorial profession, we would call that the time between examination versus outcry. The outcry date would be the date that the victim of the abuse told someone. After outcry, that victim would then be submitted for medical examination. But the number of children that Mercy Hospital saw last year increases to 1,000 per year when it includes the children who come for medical examination beyond that five-day window. Does that make sense? So the number was 444 last year for children who reported to the hospital within 5 days of being abused. But the number of children who reported to Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri, increased to 1,000 per year when it includes children who are coming to the hospital beyond the immediate 5 days following their abuse. Folks, these are children. Heidi Olson, who is the sexual assault nurse examiner coordinator, said this, quote, I think that was kind of shocking to us all. As we were collecting this data, it's that almost half of our perpetrators are minors, end quote. You hear what I'm telling you? Half of the people who are sexually abusing other children are minors. And I don't know if you caught this in the audio clip, but the perpetrators are primarily boys between the ages of 11 and 15. The victims of these sexual assaults are primarily girls between the ages of 4 and 8. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Our country is sick at the core. Jennifer Hansen, a child abuse pediatrician at Children's Mercy, said this, and you heard her voice on the audio recording. Quote, another thing we're noticing is a lot of these sexual assaults are violent sexual assaults. They include physical violence in addition to sexual violence, end quote. Heidi Olson continues, and this is the sexual assault nurse examiner coordinator at Children's Mercy. My Lord, help us. Heidi Olson said, quote, nurses are also finding more and more that pornography is playing a role in these cases. That can include a victim being forced to see porn or a victim reporting that the perpetrator said that they'd watch porn before or being forced to do something shown in a pornographic video or a victim being recorded doing a sexual act. Both Hansen and Olson concluded that they've noticed that children are being exposed to pornography at very young ages, as young as 4 and 5 years old. And she concluded her audio with a statement, and you heard it, but I'm going to repeat it. How are we as a society failing in such a way that we have 11, 12, and 14-year-old boys primarily committing violent sexual assaults? Want to know why? How do we start the show off? Demonic commitment combined with monetary revenue. Did you know that one of the biggest industries in America is the pornography industry? The porn industry generates more money than the NFL? Did you know that? Did you know that? Some of you might know that. Some of you may not have known that. You see why I'm telling you? Politics flows downstream from culture. We have people who are literally being abused because of America's commitment to its worship of sex, but we don't care enough. 60 million babies slaughtered in our nation because of America's commitment to sex. Little boys being exploited at clubs like strippers because America worships sex. Children, little girls ages 4 to 8 being sexually abused because their abusers, their perpetrators, are watching porn. Can I encourage you, parents? Please check your children's phone. I told my children that y'all don't have rooms. Every room in this house belongs to mommy and I. We let y'all borrow our rooms. But daddy, your room is here. No, every room in here is mine. You don't close doors. You have no devices. All of them are ours. And I know, some of you are saying, not my Johnny. Can I encourage you, trust, but verify? Trust, but verify. Can I tell you some of the pornography, much of the pornography is not only coming when they're alone in their schools. Do I need to remind you about Planned Parenthood teaching sex ed in classes? Do I need to point you again to the video that a sex ed teacher showed in a Florida public school where they're teaching kids how to consent to sexual activity? Folks, listen. We can play like Boo Boo the Fool if we want. But Satan don't care nothing about your ignorance. He wants your children. He'll take full advantage of your ignorance to get your children. And I'm not saying you need to be afraid of it. I'm not afraid. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but I am aware of what's happening in our culture. One of the biggest influences, and I heard somebody ask me this question, one of the biggest influences in school is not only what's being taught from the teachers. One of the biggest influences is peer learning. All of the dumb stuff I learned as a child, it didn't come from my teachers. Some of it did. But a lot of it came from Junebug and Peanut. Conversations about sex, that ain't come from the teachers. Listen, we can act like this stuff isn't happening. But we would be foolish to do so. Children's Mercy Hospital, one of the top hospitals in the country for sexual assault victims, period. Not just children. They gathered information and said, uh-oh, we got a problem with our kids. Boys 11 to 15, they seem to think that themselves are pornography actors because they're reenacting what they've witnessed. And they aren't doing this with their classmates. They're finding girls that are 4 to 8 years old. And it's not exclusively girls, because I know some stories that include boys being abused in the same fashion. And most of you are aware, but as a prosecutor, what I found is that usually people who abuse children were abused as children themselves. Now, that's just my own anecdotal offering. That is not the product of a statistical analysis, but I know that there are statistics that support what I'm saying. Children abusing children. I left out the statement. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me about this. But Renee McCreary, the director of counseling services at the Metropolitan Organization to Counter Sexual Assault, said sexual assault is a learned behavior. That wasn't their own ideas. They got these ideas from what they're watching on these videos. We better wake up, folks. We better wake up. We better wake up. Does your child really need a phone? At 5 years old? I mean, I'm not trying to come in and tell you what to do in your home, but does your child really need a phone? A phone that we call a phone, but in reality what they are mobile computers that are just made small enough that you can put in the pocket. And listen, I understand all of my friends have it. So what? So what? Listen, part of being Christians, I'm trying to hold myself from going too far. The calling to be a Christian is a calling to be a peculiar person. If God has positioned you as a Christian adult to not go with the flow of society, why aren't we training our children to do the same thing? I don't care if the rest of the baseball team has phones. You don't. Why do you need a phone? Again, we call them phones, but they're mobile computers. Mobile computers. No, they don't need a phone. Not at that young. I know they may want a phone, but they don't need it that young. So, again, you don't have to do what I'm saying. Maybe all I'm saying is children are abusing children sexually. And it's violently abusing one another. I won't get to unpack this, but I thought I'd let you know. I may go into this more in more detail tomorrow. Facebook has admitted that they have given other companies access to your private data. Facebook has allowed companies like Microsoft and Amazon and Spotify and Netflix even to get access to your private Facebook messages. So you thought they were private. And a lot of us wondered, man, I wonder how I just was doing this search. How all of a sudden does Amazon pop up on my Facebook feed for this particular item I was looking for? I'll tell you how, because Facebook gave them permission. They admitted that they reduced their privacy policies for their business partners, and they've now admitted that in an extensive writing combined with 50 interviews of 50 former Facebook employees. I'll give you this. The social network Facebook allowed Microsoft's Bing search engine to see the names of virtually all Facebook users' friends without consent, the records show, and gave Netflix and Spotify the ability to read Facebook users' private messages. The social network permitted Amazon to obtain users' names and contact information through their friends, and it let Yahoo view streams of friends' posts as recently as this summer, despite public statements that it had stopped that type of sharing years earlier. Was it just last year? Oh, no. Facebook has been doing this since 2010. In spite of the fact that they entered into a consent agreement with the Federal Trade Commission to refrain from doing this type of activity. I may delve into this more so to show you some of the details of how Facebook has been giving other companies access to your private information. So it's you and your friends without your consent.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.